Edgar and Allan Poe sat beside each other in the back row of their homeroom class, asleep. They'd been up late the night before, reading the latest in their favorite series, True Stories of Horror. And now they leaned shoulder to shoulder, head to head, together, in dreamland, like little sleeping angels. Well, maybe not angels. The Poe twins bore an uncanny resemblance to their famous great-great-great-great-granduncle Edgar Allan Poe, the author of Gothic tales so horrifying that for close to two centuries they have kept readers awake long into the night. Edgar and Allan were proud of their great-great-great-great-granduncle and happy to look like him. Nonetheless, the resemblance ensured they would never be mistaken for run-of-the-mill boys. It wasn't just external similarities that the boys shared with their great-great-great-great-granduncle. They also shared his taste for the thrilling and unexpected, intrigue, coded messages, dark secrets. And in at least one way, the boys' minds were even more unusual than their famous uncles. If at this moment you could observe the insides of their sleepy heads rather than just the outsides, you'd discover the following. Edgar was dreaming he was Allan. Allan was dreaming he was Edgar. The boys were jolted awake when their homeroom teacher, Mrs. Rosecrans, slammed her stapler on her desk, inadvertently squashing an unlucky ant that happened to be making its way toward the glazed donut Mrs. Rosecrans had set beside her attendance book. Now Edgar was no longer sure he was not actually Allan, as he had been in the dream, and Allan was not sure that he was not actually Edgar. They looked at each other and saw only their own faces looking back. It happened to them all the time. No big deal. No one could tell the difference between them, because there was no difference, not even to Edgar and Allan. One moment one was Edgar, the next he was Allan. Same boy, different identity, same identity, different boy. Their thoughts and actions were not identical, but coordinated, like moving parts in a single fine Swiss watch. Each always knew what the other was thinking, feeling, experiencing. Sometimes they wondered if they were actually one boy with two bodies, or two boys with one mind. "So sorry to have disturbed your beauty sleep, boys," Mrs. Rosecrans said. "Oh, that's all right," Edgar said, rubbing his eyes. "You can just pick up your lecture where you left off and we'll get right back to sleep," Allan added. The rest of the class laughed. Mrs. Rosecrans didn't think the matched set of Poes was funny, even if they were the most knowledgeable students she'd ever had. "So you two didn't hear a word of what I just said?" They shook their heads no, in unison. She waved a note from the main office. "The principal wants to see you both, immediately." The boys' classmates looked concerned. But Allan and Edgar just yawned and ruffled their own already unruly heads of hair. "Why?" they asked. "When it comes to you two, I can't even begin to guess," she answered. The boys stood and gathered their books. "Maybe Principal Mann needs our help planning the school's curriculum," Allan said. "Either that, or he wants our help writing his memoirs," Edgar added. Mrs. Rosecrans pointed to the door. "Good luck," the boys' classmates whispered. Edgar and Allan nodded appreciatively, though they didn't think they'd need luck. The principal had always been putty in their hands. The long hallway that led from Mrs. Rosecrans' classroom to the main office of Edwin Buzz Aldrin Middle School was empty aside from a scattering of other students who were excused from class for one reason or another. "Hey, Edgar and Allan, are you guys going to the principal's office again?" asked perky Sherry George, who was on her knees painting lunchtime pep rally on a 10-foot-long strip of paper. The boys nodded. "Does he want to see you about the skeleton?" she continued.
"Could be."
A few days before, the boys had slipped into the biology lab during lunch period and artfully rearranged all the bones on the human skeleton. The result was a grotesque form that so startled and wrecked poor Mr. Parker's nerves when he returned that he had to postpone that afternoon's exam. the Poe's less academically prepared classmates had been very grateful. Another voice called from across the hallway, "Shh, guys!" It was Stevie, the Hulk Harrison, one of their best friends, perched uncomfortably on a tiny chair outside Miss Jenkins' "No talking will be tolerated" classroom. He motioned them over. "Does the principal want to see you about the rockets?"